It's one of the things we've talked about on this program many times before in terms of alcohol and the grip it can have on your life. Sometimes it goes down the route and you end up on the street. That's where you either you're living there, you're sleeping there, or you end up there when you're trying to drink during the day. But there's completely different scales of alcoholism and how it affects your life. Now, next up on the program is something from my own program on a Monday night, 10 past 10 on Radio Ulster and Foyle, of course. And we do this thing. It's what I wish I'd known when I was 25. So was it advice to yourself when you're maybe a little bit or a lot younger? This week I spoke to a real broadcasting legend, the one and only Big T. Now, he took me back to this first day on Downtown Radio back in 1976.
It was quite a pivotal time for me. I was 25 in 1971, and I had started doing discos in 1970. Literally, for a couple of drinks, they said, you know, there's no money in it, but, you know, you can have a beer or two.
What was the attraction? Why did you want to do the discos?
Well, it never occurred to me. That's a strange one, right enough, because that actually goes back to I always wanted radio. 6 years old, I think. And my uncle had a microphone set up in my granny's house where he took it into the front room, and if you spoke into it, the sound came out the radio in the other room.
It was like magic.
Now, yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you realised that, because it doesn't sound so terribly magic now.
No, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
It was Marconi stuff to me back then, you know, and it made me sound as if I was coming out of the radio. And of course, older people, aunts and uncles, they do your radio thing. And all I did was read the news, and I made it up. So obviously hated scripts even then, you know. And what I always remember, and this is how I know what year it was, because the news back then would always have featured where the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh were if they were on tour.
So in your mid-20s then, things were starting to happen because you had tried to break in. Obviously, Radio Caroline and things like that were a real spark for you. And then things started to happen.
I always fancied, even, you know, listening to the Light programme and to BBC Northern Ireland, any of the music programmes then, I said, you know, this is great, because I was really into music. And we always had music in the house. My uncle, on my father's side, he had a record shop. And whenever Radio Caroline came along then, I started to make my own jingles and things.
And you must look back on that time now, Trevor, and think, that was kind of the beginning of it all for me.
Yeah.
That's where, and it all... It grew into this huge career. Obviously, the PPI Hall of Fame only a matter of days ago. That's pretty special as well. When you were in your mid-20s and you had done the offshore radio for a while, then Downtown was kicking off. Did you know how big that would be in your career ahead would be? Because we all hope it will be.
I suppose based on we were the 19th commercial radio station.
You're being very modest, because I mean more you than obviously Downtown has been a huge success, but I mean you. When we're all sort of starting off, we hope that we will gain a certain level, especially in this kind of business, because you're never guaranteed. You don't know. No matter how good you are, you might just be very unlucky and it might never happen.
Oh, yeah.
But it did happen to you, did you?
Full many a flower was born to blush unseen and wasted sweetness in the desert air.
Were you confident, though, that you would get to where you wanted?
I could say I've never really been confident about the unknown. And looking back, I kind of wonder, was that the same me that took that giant leap? Because I was working in the civil service. And at that time, the civil service was just your actual secure job. Mm. And, I mean, that was it. But I remember driving down that morning at 6 o'clock. I remember filling up a bit. I got a bit emotional because my father wasn't alive to hear it. And then I thought, what if they don't like me? And it's funny you should bring that to a personal level, because I remember thinking that, what if they don't like me? And I don't think I dwelt on it for too long, because the buzz soon came again. There was a champagne breakfast and I was on that day at midday.
And what year was this?
That was 76.
And you would have been...
I was 30 then.
You would have been 30.
Yeah.
I know you can look at the audience figures when, and you can go, well, clearly some people do like me.
we can be very open in this business to criticism, part of the job. But
you take a lot of stick, did take a lot of stick up until recently, probably, if you're a country music lover. You know, there's always this thing. You can say you're a jazz guy and people will think you're elevated there somewhere.
That's true.
But when you say country, people don't mind saying, I hate that country music.
That's true. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know. Whether it's a working class, down market sort of thing. It depends what you're made of. You could reply very shortly and say, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not asking you to like it, you know. I haven't missed you. But, or quote a figure of how many hundreds of thousands do like it. But I would, as you suggested there, you've got the hang of me. You say, I would take it personally sometimes and almost try and defend myself. You know, I'm sorry, but I do like it. You know? The figures did go mad. There was a survey which was questioned, you know, the Radar survey that's done on all the stations. There was one questioned because they couldn't have a nighttime figure which was above one of the morning listening figures.
Yes.
And they said, there's something wrong with this Radar
thing. And whose figures were that?
Well, they were mine.
Well, there we go, see? Let's talk back into your 20s, mid-20s, yeah, or early 30s. What was happening in terms of your off-air? So when Trevor went home, were you married? Were you single? Or what was happening?
I was single.
When did you meet your wife?
I was 16 and she was 14.
And how did that progress then? How did that, you know, what age were you when you got married?
I married her in 1974.
And what was that like?
She says, for the first 2 years of our marriage, I was married to Downtown Radio. Well, for that period, from 76 to 78.
So you obviously had your new wife, and then this job, and you're very passionate about both. It's difficult to split your time.
And I was doing disco still as well, just doing our guest spots, but they were, you know, round the province. A lot of them sort of 50 miles away, and so I wasn't spending very much time at home.
And looking back now, do you regret that? Would you change that?
You see, I'm a funny guy to be asking these questions to, because I don't tend to go back and say, or look back and say, what if. Probably looking after today and tomorrow seems to be enough for me. I maybe changed over the years. You have to change, I suppose. But looking back on what ifs like that, I don't know. I don't know what I would have changed, because I loved the radio so much. I mean, people used to meet me in the street and say, you'll burn yourself out, you're working too much, because I was doing weekends as well. I was doing Saturdays and Sundays sometimes. Sometimes it was 7 days a week. But, I mean, I called it a lie-in because I was on the breakfast show for a few years. And I called the weekend a lie-in because it wasn't on until nine. And then discos at night at the weekend.
You were a real workaholic, but...
But I didn't think of it as work. You know, this is what
you
people were
it.
Saying.
Yeah.
And I did. I loved it.
If you don't mind, we'll just briefly go back, because I was doing a bit of Googling. I don't know if you've ever Googled yourself. I came across an article from the Belfast Telegraph with yourself, and you were talking about Linda Jane and trying to deal with her not being here anymore. And I know you've already said, in terms of looking back, trying not to, you wouldn't try and change things. But someone else that's listening, and that maybe goes through that, they lose their partner of many years. You mentioned in this article as well your dad, who had been married, your mum and dad married for 41 years. Mm. But when you have a person that's in your life and such a core part of your life for so long, and then they're not there, how do you try and deal with that?
I do sometimes look back on that period and wonder, how did I deal with that? Because I can, as I suppose you could imagine, when somebody dies suddenly, as she did one afternoon. I mean, I was told, I rang the doctor and gave him the symptoms. He said, it's a virus, give her 2 paracetamol. And it's a 24-hour bug thing. And I went up to see her. I was doing some, must have been doing my accounts or something. The afternoon was working downstairs, and I went up and literally found her at 5 o'clock. And I can recreate that very vividly and just wonder how I coped with it, as was very well publicised at the time that I drank quite a bit, and I didn't go out and get drunk all the time, but kind of at a level of, I don't know, it was easy, because no matter where you went, you were getting sympathy. Mm-hmm. And even when you told people you were drinking too much, they just said, if I was in your position, I'd be drinking too much, big lad, here, have another one, you know. It was very difficult, because I'm not good at, well, I wasn't good at being alone. Linda and I were so together that if she had to go out and I had to go out, or I had to stay in, she would leave notes on the microwave, like hit button at, you know, turn off at and eat at, and I'll be back home at, or come and collect me at. So we were never much apart, apart from whenever Linda went to Africa with Concern. She would have been away for 10 days fortnight then. But, I mean, that's totally different. That sort of starts off quite fun for a few days, and then you get really, this is a bit different, strange. But you know she's coming back. Dealing with it was I did go to Cruise, which is...
Bereavement Service.
Bereavement Service, thank you. And I would recommend that. I found that helpful, because they listen. And the guy that I was talking to, I remember the first thing he said, that this is a dark tunnel we're in, and I'm going to try and lead you through it to the light, you know. And being with people, I was better when I was with people than I was on my own, as you, I suppose you can imagine. Well, I don't know, different people deal with things in a different way, you know. But it was a pretty bad time, and I do look back and think, was that me? Did I come through that? Because you swear you couldn't do it now.
Yeah, but I guess...
But it's the old thing about making you stronger, or whatever.
Yeah, you didn't have a choice, you had to.
Well, you don't have a choice. That kind of answers the question, I suppose.
Trevor, unfortunately we are out of time, but I want to say thank you very much for talking to us and for being so honest and open.
Been very enjoyable. It certainly has flown in.
There you go, Big T. Of course, you'll recognise his very distinctive voice from downtown radio. We've talked about a lot of different issues on the programme this morning, everything from alcoholism to bereavement and losing a loved one. I want to give you a few numbers. Drink Aware, 0300 123 1110. That's 0300 123 1110. Also, Lifeline is 080 808 8000. That's 0808 808 8000. And you can call them if you need help.